This recording, Michigan 21, is copyright the International Dialects of English Archive. Comma Gets a Cure is copyright Douglas N. Onuroff, Jill McCullough, and Barbara Somerville.
Well, here's a story for you. Sarah Perry was a veterinary nurse who had been working daily at an old zoo in a deserted district of the territory. So she was very happy to start a new job at a superb private practice in North Square near the Duke Street Tower. That area was much nearer for her and more to her liking. Even so, on her first morning, she felt stressed. She ate a bowl of porridge, checked herself in the mirror, and washed her face in a hurry. Then she put on a plain yellow dress and a fleece jacket, picked up her kit, and headed for work. When she got there was a woman with a goose waiting for her. The woman gave Sarah an official letter from the vet. The letter implied that the animal could be suffering from a rare form of foot and mouth disease, which was surprising because normally you would only expect to see it in a dog or a goat. Sarah was sentimental, so this made her feel sorry for the beautiful bird. Before long, that itchy goose began to strut around the office like a lunatic, which made an unsanitary mess. The goose's owner, Mary Harrison, kept calling, "Kama, Kama," which Sarah thought was an odd choice for a name. Kama was strong and huge, so it would take some force to trap her, but Sarah had a different idea. First, she tried gently stroking the goose's lower back with her palm, then singing a tune to her. Finally, she administered ether. Her efforts were not futile. In no time, the goose began to tire, so Sarah was able to hold on to Kama and give her a relaxing bath. Once Sarah had managed to bathe the goose, she wiped her off with a cloth and laid her on her right side. Then Sarah confirmed the vet's diagnosis. Almost immediately, she remembered an effective treatment that required her to measure out a lot of medicine. Sarah warned that this course of treatment might be expensive, either 5 or 6 times the cost of penicillin. I can't imagine paying so much, but Miss Harrison, a millionaire lawyer, thought it was a fair price for a cure. I grew up in the town that I go to college in, and I spent a lot of time in my home with my parents because I'm an only child, and I went to school in a different district than I lived in. So I would have to travel about 20 minutes to hang out with friends. So I spent a lot of time with family. And then by the time I got to high school and I was able to drive, I explored a lot of neighboring towns because I felt like I was never only in one place because I lived in one town but went to school in another and would do sports in another and do theater in another. So I feel like I lived in one town but kind of grew up in a larger area and kind of took from a lot of those different neighboring towns. Going to school in high school was weird because I lived in a different town. And the school that I went to was definitely a richer area, and it was a lot of white, conservative families that where your like last name had a lot of meaning, and your family that you came from could do a lot for you because it was a very small town. And for me, I kind of made my name for myself almost. I mean, like my reputation with my teachers and my friends and such. Because nobody really knew me when I grew up there because my family was like had last name. Like that doesn't click with anybody in a white neighborhood. But so it was weird because I felt kind of like an outcast in that kind of sense. Because, I mean, my family is fine financially and all that. But I'm definitely not like rich to the extent that all of my friends were. But I was lucky enough to find a group of friends that like didn't care about any of those things, which was definitely like a good thing to grow up with. But it's always kind of been in the back of my head that, like, you know, I am from a Hispanic family, and even though I do not look Hispanic whatsoever, I definitely it definitely like hits home when people assume things about Hispanic families or even just, you know, kids that come from different income families and stuff like that, because at one point in my life, it kind of felt like I was there. But other than that, it was kind of fun living separated from my high school because it was a small town, so I wouldn't go to the grocery store and see every single person in my math class. Like, I could go to the grocery store and just be with my parents and not have to run into a bunch of people that I didn't want to talk to. So I definitely had that separation that I think separated me from drama and unnecessary, like, problems that had nothing to do with me. It was more of like a community and like a higher society kind of thing.
Bueno, en la secundaria yo tenía un grupo de amigas que éramos muy cercanas, éramos como cinco de nosotras. Y yo me sentí como que cada una de ellas añadía a mi persona y a mi personalidad. Entonces, cuando nosotros íbamos a eventos de fútbol o eventos de la escuela, yo me sentía como que necesitaba ellas cuatro alrededor mío para poder, no sé, como verme como una persona mayor y más grande y madura en la escuela para que la gente me respetara y para poder tener esa imagen de tener un grupo de amigas que eran lindas y que siempre nos teníamos el mejor interés en mente. Y nosotros hicimos mucho en la secundaria, siempre salíamos a comer cada viernes. Y eso es una cosa que yo he tomado, que yo me he llevado conmigo en mi vida, porque ahora en este momento yo estoy en la universidad y nosotros no hemos separado.